Let us pray. May we view our questioning in our hearts in a new light this day, O God. Amen. Now, let me ask you, have you ever wondered about that old story that elephants really are afraid of mice? Or have you ever wondered just how much destruction a bull would cause in a china shop? And closer to home, have you ever wondered if toast always falls butter side down? And don't you think we're always kind of wondering if something really is true? So what do we find in John's Gospel that we heard just now, thanks be to God, from Maggie Wallace for pinch hitting, doing a fine job on the fast alert. But when we hear that, do we have an echo in our hearts of an urge to question, to wonder even about our own faith? Now, this story that we just heard from the book of John takes place on the very night of that first Easter Sunday. And some of the disciples have gathered together, as you've heard, in a house behind locked doors and fearful of persecutors. They're basically hiding out there. But right into their midst, the resurrected Christ enters. In spite of that locked door, he shows them his hands, his feet, and his pierced side, and he blesses them with God's peace. However, as you noted, one disciple is not with them, and that's Thomas. Poor old Thomas, the patron saint of all of us who happened to skip church one Sunday only to find out that we've missed a really great service that day, or a wonderful choir anthem or something. And we don't even know where Thomas was. Where was he? Why wasn't he there? Maybe he went out to get everybody pizza. And when Thomas returns to the group sometime later and hears what happens, he says to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my fingers in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." And now this statement has given the reputation of Thomas a lot of grief over the years. Of course, it earned him the label Doubting Thomas. But we tend to forget that the other disciples were doubters too. Hey, they'd been holed up in the locked room, scared. And this was despite the fact that they'd heard the witness from Mary, from the women, that Jesus had risen from the dead. Were they scared because they were having a hard time believing that Jesus was actually risen? Or was it because they still had some doubts and misgivings about it all? Did the whole 3 days, was it just kind of like a dream to them? Well, it's clear that the disciples also doubted until Jesus entered the room, all doubt gone. But it seems that over the ages, the other disciples had much better public relations agents, because we've never worried too much about their doubt. Now that night, when Jesus entered into their midst, he looks at them. They're weary, they're worn, they're tired, they're frightened. He says the very best words they could possibly hear. "Peace be with you." Instead of rebuking or criticizing them for hiding out, Jesus blesses them with God's peace. And this blessing changes everything for them. This appearance is their motivation, the kickstart for their lives. Now they can go back out into the world, and this blessing of Jesus propels them to unlock the doors and re-engage with life. Re-engage with life. But in actuality, instead of being inspired by this outcome, with some, this passage about doubting Thomas has been used as a warning. A warning that we should not be having doubts about our faith. We should just automatically believe what we're told. And yet, we know that this is not always what happens. We've all had doubts about our faith at one point or another, and maybe there are those among us that have them right now here. Maybe we've wrestled with them all our lives. But I believe that having doubts, asking questions, exploring faith is never a bad thing. Listen to what the great theologian Friedrich Buchner once said. He said, "Whether your faith is that there is a God or that there is not a God, if you don't have any doubts ever about what you believe, you're either kidding yourselves or you're asleep. Doubts," he says, "are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep our faith awake and lively." I used to think that if I had any doubts about God, this would make me a bad minister. And now I know that doubts make me a better minister. Life is not an easy road that we're called to walk, but we know that even in our doubts, God is here with us, and God helps us to wrestle with our questions and hurry and encourages us just to keep on going. And for years, Thomas has been called the doubter, but I think that instead we should refer to him as the courageous one. He is the disciple who calls us to live with our questions, not run away from them. As Thomas did, may we embrace our doubts and our questions, letting them become the ants in the pants of our faith. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, as our thoughts and reactions to life challenge our faith, may they move us into a deeper, more life-giving relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.